this morning's text comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. I believe in your Pew Bible, it's on page 573, I believe it is. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. You can follow along on the screen if you would like. Let me just offer a prayer and we'll dive in. Lord, we come to your word both with excitement for what's about to happen in baptism, but also with need to hear from you. And in coming to your word, Lord, it's an opportunity to further our worship this morning, to hear from the word of God, and may you prick and enliven our hearts as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 2, 11 through 15. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. This is God's word. Do you remember where you were 4 years ago today? Today. You know what? I actually have a good guess. You were at home. Because do you remember what was happening 4 years ago? We were like week three into the shutdown of the world apocalypse. And so unless you were, maybe you were trapped somewhere and, you know, doing something somewhere else, or maybe you were off the grid in the wilderness and you had no clue. Otherwise, you were probably trying to figure out how you're going to get some more toilet paper or flour or something like that, right? Because I remember that's what we were trying to figure out. 4 years ago today, and not just today, the season of the pandemic, it taught us something. It taught us universally something around the world. It taught us and it showed us how much we need relationship and how much connection matters. And it's universal. I was reading a article a few weeks ago. Actually, it was at the sort of launch of the four-year point of this is when COVID brought us to our sort of lockdown phase. And it was a montage of stories from around the country of people who, before the lockdown happened, they had plans. And then the lockdown, and then all those plans are gone. You know, it was the kid for the six-year-old birthday party that was going to happen at Chuck E. Cheese that all of a sudden didn't happen. It was the family members who were planning to have they were visiting their mom, who was about to turn 100 in the, you know, nursing home. And they were planning to have a birthday celebration to celebrate 100 years. And then the lockdown happened and the celebration never happened. You know, it was the healthcare worker or the nurse that was in the ER. And once COVID hit, all of the sort of timbre of what was happening in the ER changed from that period forward. On and on. Universally, what the article was trying to say was there's this trauma that all of us experienced. And why was that? Well, one of the main reasons was because we were torn apart. We were separated. We no longer had the connection and the depth of relationship in person that we need. Why is that the case? Why did you feel those things? Why were we depressed? Why were we sad? Well, it's because we were created in the image of our Maker, who himself is relational, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the pandemic was really a pointer to a deeper level of brokenness in our broken relationship, the broken relationship of humanity with him. And so this text here, Paul is giving us what Jesus did to bring the solution. And just quickly here, the title of the short sermon here is The Gateway of Baptism. The gateway. A gateway. A gateway is a thing you enter in. You're going into something or you're going through something to get to something else. And what are the two things that you get to? Well, one is new life. And the second one is new family. New life and new family. All right, so first point, new life. Where does this talk about new life? Well, look, for example, in verse 12, having been buried. Usually dead people get buried. So there's their state of deadness. But then further in verse 13, Paul plainly says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, or trespasses rather in this case, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. What does that mean? What is being dead in trespasses? What is, if, you know, maybe you don't know Christ and you say, I don't feel dead. Or maybe you look back at the time in your life before you knew Christ and you might say, well, it didn't feel dead to me. Well, what does that mean? Well, see what he says. Dead here is a relational term. I mean, there's more to it than that, but it certainly is a relational term. It's not less than that. In verse 13, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive. You were dead to God. You were broken in your relationship with him. You know, there's a reason why. You ever had a friendship or a relationship that just drifted apart? Or if you've ever had an estranged relationship, maybe it's with a parent, maybe it's with a sibling, maybe it's with a child. There's a reason why it feels like a death. There's a reason why it feels like a loss. It's because it's pointing to a greater death and a greater loss that we, humanity, has with our Creator. The broken relationship, the trespasses that we've committed, and the uncircumcised heart that we have towards him, that brokenness is a brokenness of death. When you think about Adam and Eve, for example, how could I say that? Well, Adam and Eve in the garden, well, first Adam had perfect bliss with God, but then he had all the things to eat. He had all the animals to name. He had a job. He had a purpose. He had a mission, but God said it's not good for man to be alone. God created woman. He created Eve, put him into relationship. But then as God gave them, free range of the garden, he said there's one boundary. Don't eat of this one tree in the garden. Because what does he say? As soon as you eat it, you will surely die. That's what he says. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's an emphatic. You will surely die is what it says. You will surely die, or you will die. And so when Adam and Eve ate, what happened? Did they drop dead? Not at that moment. But what died was their relationship with God. So we see that, okay? So Paul is saying, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. What's the solution? It's new life. How does that happen? Well, it is symbolized and experienced in baptism. You see what he says in verse 11? So that was the problem. Here he's given us the solution, the new life. In him, in Christ also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. What is circumcision? Well, in the Old Testament, well, actually, I should say, in the ancient world, circumcision was a common practice. Circumcision was a manner by which a lot of people groups and nations would have a rite of passage into adulthood. But the Hebrews had a different type of circumcision. It was one that was prescribed to them by Yahweh himself, by Jehovah God. And that was, on the eighth day, a male child would be circumcised. What's the significance of that? Well, think about it. For all the other nations, if you're going to be circumcised, and we know the Philistines didn't practice circumcision because they were uncircumcised Philistines, as the scripture says. But for all the other nations, circumcision was this thing to sort of prove your worth, prove your mettle. Okay, now you can prove yourself here in this community. Now you can be somebody. But if you circumcise an 8-year-old or 8-day-old infant, he or she has, or he in this case, has no way to prove himself. It's a gateway into the covenant community. That's what the circumcision was for the Hebrews. But what Paul is saying is that circumcision was a shadow of what was to come. When Jesus came, he offered a better circumcision. You see how it says in verse 11? You also were circumcised with a circumcision. What type of circumcision? One made without hands. by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is a better circumcision. It's not physical, it's spiritual. It's not done by a man, it's done by God, the Spirit in you takes place. It's what's going to happen to Drew here as he gets baptized. And it's a cutting away of the sinful nature. It's what makes you alive. Before we were uncircumcised, we were carrying along with us our attachment of being in Adam. But as being in Christ, when we get baptized, the Holy Spirit comes and he cuts that attachment. And now we are fully in Christ. You are made alive. And the encouragement here is for those who've been baptized, when you start to get fuzzy on your faith or you start to doubt, Paul's saying, look, there's something that you can point back to, your baptism, to remind you Jesus has done a work in your heart. But for those of you who haven't been baptized yet or you're still thinking about it, it's to help you to see, he's encouraging you. No, you can't live the Christian life on your own. That's why God gives you grace in his son, Jesus Christ. And in baptism, you're going to sever the old person, the old way, the old life. In fact, he says the language in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, with Jesus, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. All right, so you get circumcision is this, it's this means by which you experience new life in baptism. Drew's going to experience new life. Now, you might say, well, don't I have new life when I come to know Jesus? Like, and I prayed a prayer or, you know, whatever happened, however that happened. Yes, of course. That's the point of transition. But the baptism is this public opportunity both to signify, to celebrate, but also put you in a position to receive grace afresh. It's like this ring that I wear, and for, you know, those of you who are married. When I do a wedding, and part of the sort of, you process through all of the things that you're saying and having the couple repeat, one of the things that you say is, after the couple gives their vows to each other and professes their covenant for one another, you take the ring and I say, repeat after me. I, so-and-so, take this ring. I'm giving you this ring as a symbol of the covenant I have made with you this day. Baptism is that symbol of the covenant. But even as the ring is given on the point of entry into the covenant, baptism is a gateway into the covenant of new life. That's the new life. Now let's think about the new family. When you consider how the readers would have read this, if you think about Old Testament circumcision, you were never just circumcised as an individual to have a relationship with God or to be a part of his, you know, in relationship with him. It was always a circumcision. I identify now with his people. I'm going to be a part of this covenant community. And so for Paul to use the language of circumcision and reference what's happening in baptism, he's saying that there's both the vertical new life and there's the horizontal new family. And we get to do this publicly because we get to say to Drew, you're a brother in Jesus Christ. This gateway into a new family, what Paul is saying is he's talking primarily to Gentiles, those who would not have been circumcised. And he's saying, you know what? There are those who would try to convince you you need to become more like a Jew to follow Christ. And Paul is saying, because of what Jesus has done for you, you don't need that. This family that you've been brought into, it's not cultural. It's not racial oriented. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's not Jesus plus a certain socioeconomic status. It's not Jesus plus a certain level of education. It's not Jesus plus a political persuasion, a certain affiliation. It's not Jesus plus any other thing. And in fact, it's a different type of family than I was remembering my freshman year, that phenomenon that happened at least on my campus in the spring, where folks who were formerly friends all of a sudden don't want to talk to each other. And why? What happened? It was rush. It was the Greek life. I don't know how that happened. I'm not familiar with it here at the U of I or maybe wherever you've gone to campus. But in our case, it was the spring of the freshman year, and you know, you have now I belong to this sorority. Now I belong to this. We can't talk anymore. We can't be friends. We're rivals. How do you get in? Well, you have to do all the whatever they have you do stuff. And then, you know, maybe there's some hazing. There's not supposed to be hazing, but there is hazing. I remember some of the black fraternities. I was never interested in any of them. But there's this one notorious black fraternity. You would get a branding if you wanted to join, right? Okay. Pull up your sleeve. Okay, get ready. No thanks. There's something you have to do to get in. Or if you think about, for example, in the realm of education, there's entrance exams. There's, you know, for some groups, there's pledging, there's hazing, there's various ways you enter into. There's basically, it's your performance is what puts you in with us and out with everybody else. And because you did that and we did that and they didn't, we're better. But not in God's family. It's not based on your performance. The gateway, the baptism, what's happening here, it's not about the work of the baptism. It's not about the water. It's about what Jesus has done. You see, you notice the language that in verse 12, it says, having been buried, the prepositional phrases, with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, verse 13, God made alive together with him. It's his performance. So baptism is a gateway into new life and into new family. This last verse here, a very tricky verse, but I'll just say in brief, verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Yeah, I think you could say on one level this is the spiritual realm, the dark forces, but there's also the sort of political realm. If you think about what happened on the cross and what led to the cross, it was the rulers of the Roman Empire and the rulers in the religious community and the Jewish way of life who were put to open shame because all of the false pretenses by which Jesus was put on the cross were brought to bear in the resurrection. He was innocent. He really is the Son of God, is what happened. And what's powerful about all of what is happening here and what Paul is saying is, you know the people in your life that maybe you messed up sometime and they kind of view you as a mess up, and then every time you get around them, you've got that track record and they've kind of got that track record hanging over you. You've got this record, right? And so every time you kind of clam up or you get sheepish around them or what have you. Well, Paul says, we all had a record with God. And it wasn't just this arbitrary record. It was a record of debt that stood against us, he says in verse 14, with its legal demands. But what's powerful is, he says, this God set aside by nailing it to the cross. It was because of Christ's record. Your record was wiped clean, and it's in baptism you get to experience that new life and new family. This morning, as we participate in this baptism, not just merely as spectators, but as those who remember what Jesus has done in our lives, I want to invite you to just consider a few things. Number one, you have new life. You're not the same anymore. Maybe you've gone through a season of darkness. Maybe there's been despair. Maybe there's been pain in your heart. Maybe there's been loss, or maybe you've been doubting. Maybe you've struggled in some different way. You should remind yourself, you have new life. You've been made new. You may not be all that you want to be at this present, but you are not what you were. You are new in Jesus Christ. Secondly, don't let anyone convince you that you need to add to Christ to be a true Christian. You don't need to add status. You don't need to add, well, you need to have this type of career to really be faithful. You don't need to add, oh, you need to vote this way or have this political affiliation or all the various things. It's Jesus plus nothing. That's the gateway. And ultimately today, you may not know Drew, you may not have heard his story, you may not know his history, but the thing that you do know, if you're in Christ, is he is your brother. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that reminds us about what baptism is. It has tremendous depth. It's not a ritual. It's not just showy or outward. But Lord, there is grace and an inward work that you are going to do in Drew's life today, and we can all look back on this date to remember that. Lord, we invite you now as we celebrate with our brother. In Jesus' name, amen.